a man named David Tice Workman, who was actually born, I think, in Wahpeton, but spent a lot of time at Hamline University. And he was a muralist, as you might have guessed. He has murals in other places. I think Ely has some of his murals as well. And this one basically tells the story of ore from where it was dug out of the ground here, taken by train to the harbor in Duluth, where it was then put on the ore carriers and shipped down the Great Lakes to the steel mills in the east. I believe there are 13 life-size workers in the painting, and he based these figures on people that he really knew. And I've had any number of students say, oh, that looks like my uncle, or that looks like my grandpa. So very definitely has some regional appeal. There were 30 different nationalities that went to school here at one point. And this was basically a K-14 building originally.
What did you say the name of the brothers were?
Caproni.
C-A-P-R-O-N-I. Oh my gosh.
Who emigrated here from Italy. These panels right here are based on a choir loft, I think in Florence, Italy. There's no way we can take these panels off the wall.
That was Linda Soikkonen. She recently retired from her work as the Hibbing High School librarian, and I was lucky enough to catch up with her at the Hibbing High School recently, where she gave me a tour of the library's impressive art collection, and she educated me on the history, architecture, and lore of Hibbing High School and its notorious and palatial auditorium, where one Bob Zimmerman was booed off the stage. Hibbing, Minnesota is in northeast Minnesota. It is 72 miles northwest of Duluth, 34 miles northeast of Grand Rapids, 90 miles south of the Canadian border, and 208 miles north of the Twin Cities. Back in the 1800s, it was originally a logging community, and in the 1890s, Hibbing underwent some drastic changes when iron ore was discovered beneath the location where the town had settled. By the early 1920s, the entire town had been moved 2 miles south of its original location to the place on the map that we now know as Hibbing, Minnesota. It was the Oliver Iron Mining Company that paid for the costs of moving the community, and mining dollars also led to the construction of Hibbing's High School, which was called the Castle in the Wilderness. Its construction between 1920 and 1925 cost $3.9 million. You heard that right, $3.9 million in the 1920s for the construction of their school. The school served kids that ranged in age from kindergarten through what they called grade 14. And at the time, the 13th and the 14th grades were more along the lines of a tech school, and they actually became the model for two-year technical colleges across the country. And because of the great draw of immigrants to the Hibbing area, English as a second language was a big deal, and teachers often went out into the homes of people living in the area to teach English as a second language to those folks who could not get to the school itself. And of course, the school was home to many teachers who taught English as a second language. The facility itself is palatial, with marble and high ornately detailed ceilings, world-class craftsmanship, and details created by artists from all over the world make it a one-of-a-kind work of art. And art and sculpture from around the world can be found throughout the facility. Some pretty incredible people have come out of Hibbing, Minnesota. Kevin McHale, who played for the Boston Celtics and eventually went on to become the coach of the Minnesota Timberwolves. Vincent Bugliosi, who was the prosecutor in the Charles Manson case and later became an acclaimed author. Baseball player Roger Maris, who held Major League Baseball's single-season home run record for 37 years. And entrepreneur Gino Paolucci, who started Gino's Pizza. Gary Puckett, Governor Rudy Perpich, and of course, Bob Dylan. If you go to Hibbing, you can stand right outside the home Bob Dylan lived in when he was a kid, when he was Bobby Zimmerman. And if you're lucky, you could maybe even get a peek inside the auditorium he performed in when he was booed off the stage. I had the great luck to meet up with a gentleman by the name of Leonard Hirsch. Leonard worked as a researcher for the mining companies and is now a historian, and he volunteers at the Hibbing Historical Society. We talked about many things, one of which was his experience in the auditorium when Bob Zimmerman was booed off the stage.
Well, I came from southern Minnesota in 59, and parochial school, small town, Sleepy Eye, New Ulm, and our school would fit inside that auditorium. And I always remember I got to sit in on that convocation that they had when, with the talent show, when our local talent got booed off the stage.
You were there?
Yeah, I was auditing at school because my mother had come up to visit my dad and brought us along from New Ulm. It was 2 weeks before Easter when he had left home. And she didn't see him again until we got up there a couple of weeks later. And while we're up here, mother has presence of mind, says, well, you might as well audit the school to see what you're going to be going to next year, because we're going to be moving up from New Ulm then. And, of course, the first thing Mr. Kenny tells me, he says, oh, we have a convocation. So you go down to that. Have you been in that auditorium? It's impressive.
I went yesterday, and okay. I could not believe it. Leonard.
Yeah, so picture small town, little kid, come walking into that massive thing.
So what actually happened? Because Mr. Finko, the principal, said, well, they say he got booed. Did you say that they just closed the curtain on him? That's how it happened?
Yeah, well, he's doing his nasal singing, and as I called it anyhow. And it was a style that, you know, wasn't real, you know, nobody heard. He has own style. And the thing that stood out to me was just the hollering, the rudeness of the student body.
Was he playing piano or playing guitar or just standing there singing?
No, he had I think he had his mouth organ and I think it was it's not clear in my mind. It just, like I said, the thing that got me is the rudeness. I'm looking around at everybody and how they're reacting, and I was basically horrified, because I'm asking myself, what am I getting into? Throwing stuff, hollering, catcalls. I was just horrified, because down there in southern Minnesota, in the auditorium, you sat pinpoint quiet. You didn't do anything. You were very respectful. And then I came up here and saw that display of, what would you call it? I don't know. It wasn't kind and gentle, that's for sure.
Is that how they reacted to a lot of people who were performing, or just specifically?
Well, the town at that time was very cliquish. You know, I was an outsider, so a group of us kind of hung around because we were outsiders.
Mm-hmm.
And then you had the Brooklyn Knights and the Park Edition and all of that. It was in various cliques or groups. You didn't step outside of those too often.
And as an outsider, you had an interesting perspective of all of the groups.
Yeah.
There's a lot of great people that came out of Hibbing, a lot of people in history.
Oh, you go back, there's the Boeing story, the Pillsbury story. I mean, there's so much that came out of here back in the beginning. Aviation. Were you able to figure out the schools that were there? So anyhow, you got this new concept, K-14 instead of K-12. And it's a two-year technical institute. And they bring on board this Shorty Davis, was his name, who had been mentoring under aviation pioneers. And so he comes up there as the industrial arts instructor, and we now have some pictures of the gliders and the airplanes, because we have an area in Hibbing called Aviators Edition. It's over by where the college is now. And that originally is where they took off and landed their gliders and airplanes that they made in school. And one of his aspiring students was a Boeing when they were the logging family originally up here, made millions in logging. He gets his instruction in the industrial arts, ends up going out west with a machine and tool. They discover ore on the Boeing. He needs more money, and his mother says, don't worry, we got lots of it now with the ore. And so the Boeing mine is mined out of red ore, and they make millions. He gets his money, and today we have Boeing Industries. And the only acknowledgement you can see that he makes of the mining is that he had two yaks that were called Taconite 1 and Taconite 2.
That was Leonard Hirsch. You can find him some days at the Hibbing Historical Society, where he will be more than happy to tell you all that he knows about the area, and he knows a lot. Stay tuned for our next segment of Let's Visit Hibbing, when Leonard talks with me about the changes he has seen the town go through since moving there in 1959 and what he thinks the future holds. I'm Katie Carter. Thank you for tuning in for this segment of Let's Visit. Let's Visit is made possible by the Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund and by the people of Minnesota.